you very much. It is good to be here. Beautiful day. Morning. My brother said, try the swimming pool. I can tell you it's lovely and warm. Much warmer than there. I was reminded most yesterday was getting out. I was going in. Cool air really hit you when you came out. But it was beautiful in the pool. This is good, clean exercise, isn't it? Have a shower a day and a swim a day, it keeps the body clean anyway. I really appreciate such an appreciative audience. You've been really, really lavish with your remarks and encouragement, and we do appreciate that. Speaking about cold water, I don't know if any of you have ever been baptized with those ice. But, I remember a friend up north, he got saved in the winter time and nothing to do, but he went to another friend of mine, Lou Head, he said, Lou, I want to be baptized today. No waiting. He went down to the edge of the salt water and cut a hole in the ice and baptized them. Had no ill effect. Another time I spent a baptism that the lady being baptized, she had a very long nose, and and one of the deacons that were at that baptism, he was very much for full immersion, you know. He said, her nose is not on there. He goes on there all the way. Turn with me, please, to Leviticus chapter 14. Last night we spoke on the anointing, and there's many more things we'd like to say, so we'd like to say a few more things today, only speaking about the Holy Spirit, it's the oil of the Holy Spirit. In the Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, you have the cleansing of the leper. Wonderful picture of the sinner. Many times in the 13th chapter particularly, you'll read deeper than the skin, deeper than the skin, lower. And that's certainly sin, isn't it? It's deeper than the skin. It's deep-rooted. But then the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. Thank God for that. It goes deeper than the skin. Leviticus 14 and verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering, and the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy word. You notice the blood came first, and then the oil upon the blood. I think that's very self-explanatory. We're first redeemed with that precious blood, and we were redeemed with the blood at the same moment after the Holy Spirit, as we said, enters and indwells the believer. The oil, olive oil was used to anoint the priest before for that last night. Aaron, you remember, was anointed for the holy priesthood. The kings were anointed for their position as kings, and then they were expected to act like kings afterward. And when we are anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, we are, of course, also expected to act as people that are royal citizens of heaven. And then the prophets, they too were anointed with oil. Now, oil often speaks about joy, and there's a couple of verses I'd like to give you about just a little way of introduction that connect with the oil, you have also joy. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 is the verse that points that out. To appoint unto them that mourn and find, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. That's a great contrast, isn't it? Oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And that's the great purpose of the Spirit of God, isn't it? That Christ may be glorified, for there's the joy. And that Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you'll find that. A joyful Christian, I'll tell you, is usually a victorious Christian, and he's not so easily put under. If your joy is really the joy of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, this is the verse, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, it's a verse quoted from Psalm 47. And it refers to the Lord Jesus, Psalm 45, verse 7. It speaks about the Lord Jesus, thou hast anointed, for thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Sometimes, you know, you never actually read about the Lord Jesus laughing in the Word of God, do we? We never even read about him smiling. But here's a verse that tells us he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. You couldn't think of the Lord Jesus being anything else in his inner being but having the joy of the Lord flowing through him. And you know, the special joy of salvation. You remember in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John came up to death and they saw this man sitting there, lame, and they said, sir, look on us, and he thought he was going to get the money. The servant gold have we none, but such as we have we give unto thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk. And he said, he leaped, and he jumped, and he praised the Lord. He wasn't afraid what people thought of him, was he? Sometimes we're so afraid to express a little joy because people, going overboard now, you know? He was walking and leaping and praising God, it says about him. So as a result of loving righteousness, it speaks about the Lord Jesus. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. Tonight we'll be touching a little more on this possibly, but one of the fruits of the Spirit is, the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's that one?
Joy.
See, a person has that inner joy that flows out true is a wonderful evidence of the Holy Spirit. It's a very great evidence of the filling of the Spirit because in the book of Acts, so you read about the fullness of the Spirit and those great joy it says. In that city, Acts 8:8, a great joy. Again in Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So the two go hand in hand. If the Spirit of God fills us, we truly have this anointing oil upon us, we should be a joyful people. And we need to be anointed freshly every day. You know, David said, my cup runs run it over. Thou anointest my cup, or my head with oil, my cup will run it over. Well, if your cup runs over and filling up, it has to be refilled all the time, doesn't it? And that's what you have in the Word of God. In Psalm 92 and verse 10, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The fresh oil every morning. We need to get a resupply every morning, you know. They had to fill the lamp all the time to keep the oil, the light burning in the lampstand. And we need that continual supply every day. Yesterday's supply will not do it. And we make a little picture of it. You remember when Elijah was to go up to the widow of Sarepta? She had just a little oil left, didn't she? A little bit of meal. And it was quite a challenge. I could imagine if the Lord sent me to that said, now I have a widow that's going to look after you. I would think he has a well-furnished widow with all kinds of canned goods and supplies in the basement and all kinds of stock laid up, you know, for many months and years to come. Boy, we're going to go up and she's going to look after us. Just there, here was a starving woman. And the boy, they're going to have the last meal. Pretty hopeless, isn't it? But make me a cake first. The Lord first. Put him first. And every day they had to dip down into that barrel. He didn't fill the barrel and there's a 3-month supply for you. So every day, and so every day that oil continued. And so it is, we need that daily filling, that daily supply of fresh oil. In our lives, the fresh oil of the Spirit of God. It's a remarkable verse too, that I think we'll just, well maybe I'll use this a little later, but dipping the foot in oil when we come to the various parts the oil should be put on. Now the first place the oil was put on the leper, I believe, we'll start at the top, wasn't the order there in the book, but I want to start to keep up in the order. Oil on the head, it says in Leviticus 14, verse 18, thou shalt pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. He is to pour the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. Now, you see, the head is very important. The head governs every part of the body, just like Christ is the head of the church and should govern the function of the church, the body of Christ. So our head is the head of the body. And I believe it speaks about that mind. If a man thinks it in his mind or in his heart, so is he. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are goodly, important, so on, think upon these things. And it's very, very important. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Book of Titus, chapter 3. Verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration. Here's the blood. And renewing of the Holy Spirit, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Spirit of God regenerating us, renewing our mind, that we might indeed think upon this. The Word of God, you remember, or the Spirit of God produced on holy men that were moved along, 2 Peter 1:21, and they wrote that they were moved along by the Spirit of God. There's a verse that's very precious to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think it's verse 5. Oil on the head. Casting down imagination, maybe high things that had exalted itself against the laws of God, and listen, and bringing into captivity every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a tremendous verse, isn't it? Every thought brought into the obedience, into obedience to Christ. Oil on the head. It's so important to have our mind purified and anointed with oil every day. You know, it's a great thing to have our mind occupied with Christ, thinking upon Him, His loveliness, His gentleness, His graciousness, and all these things. And that if our mind is full of good things, it won't be full of other things, will it? That's the best, the thing is prevention. You know, that if you can get the disease, if you could prevent that disease, that'd be much better. And if we can prevent some of these thoughts and other things that come into our mind, how that the Holy Spirit truly anoint our minds that we may think pure, holy, things that are lovely, things that are Christ exalting. Then the oil on the head, of course, also speaks about how we understand and remember John's Gospel. Just look at a very few quick verses to show us what the Holy Spirit is anointing the mind. Sometimes as we get older, you know, our memory is not so good. Sometimes there's three things happens when you get older. One is you can't remember. And I forget the other two. You've heard that one before. Well, that's very common, isn't it? Easy to forget. So we need the Spirit of God. John chapter 2 and verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciple remembered. When did they remember? After he was risen from the dead. Why was that? Because that's when the Holy Spirit was given. And he would bring these things to their remembrance. We're going to see that as we turn in John's Gospel. John chapter 12 and verse 16. The anointing of the head. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, remember he said when he was glorified, he would send the Comforter? But when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him. Chapter 13, verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, there is Peter, and it connects with the washing of his disciples' feet. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. The anointing of the head quickens the memory, quickens the mind. He helps us to understand and to remember. John 14:26. For the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring, notice now, all things to your remembrance. Isn't it wonderful to have the Comforter to help us as our years advance, as our minds become so they don't hold and retain it so well. We have a very present help, the blessed Spirit of God. John 16 and verse 12. We looked at some of these verses, we're just bringing a little bit different aspect from them. I've yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For the understanding and quickening of the mind, he anointed my head with oil. Gives us that understanding. One more scripture, Acts 11. When Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, and verse 15 of Acts 11, he's recounting the incident And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on all them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord. Helped him to remember. He remembered that wonderful thing. Now the second thing, I want you to turn now to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Oil in the wounds. You know, it's all a beautiful gospel story. The story of the Good Samaritan. The picture is the Lord Jesus. The Samaritan was despised, and he was despised and rejected of men. He came, you remember, as a Good Samaritan. He found a man that was half dead, wounded, and half dead. And this man, he was, you might say, he had legs of mercy. He came to where he was. The Levite and the priest, they passed by, but a certain man, a teacher, and it came where he was. The Lord Jesus came right to the place where we were. Then he had eyes of kindness. He saw him. The Lord Jesus saw us, and he had compassion upon us. That's what it says, and they saw him, he had compassion on him. There's a heart of love that went with it. Then those hands to help him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds and put in oil and wine, set him on his own feet. Hands that lifted him up on his own feet. Self-denial. Supporting grace, he brought him to the inn. And then he paid the innkeeper to look after him. But he poured in the oil and the wound. The old sin life leaves many scars. For the blessed Spirit of God, the oil put into the wound, wonderful healing effect. Oil in the wound. We're made new. New beginning. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says this, but ye were, such were some of you. All kinds of various aspects of sin mentioned, which ye are washed. For you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We're made new. Oils in the wound. The blood has cleansed us. The Spirit of God has made us new. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. New beginning. Back in Leviticus, you remember, we read about those oils who put in the very part of the person. I want to also mention something that, you know, sometimes we say, who owns your face? Who owns our face? Faith is a very important part of us, isn't it? Psalm 104:15. A wonderful verse. Wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Wine speaks of that joy too, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. That's the word of God. But oil to make his face shine. You know, a kind face is the result of someone living close to the Lord. George Mueller said his face was so gentle, and people looked on him, and they almost said it, they said it reminded you of the 23rd Psalm. What a good man of God George Mueller was, a man of faith, but his faith reflected he'd been in the presence of God. And as we mentioned, Stephen certainly reflected that he had been in the presence of God. Moses wished not that his face shone, but he certainly reflected he had been in the presence of God. And the oil will make our face to shine, as it says there in the Psalm 104, makes our face to shine. It's a great thing to have a shining face, full of the love of the Lord and the joy of the Lord. It should come out. Shouldn't be like the man who was standing out on the sidewalk inviting people into the service. And the fella took his invitation and he looked up into his face and he said, "No thanks, I have no trouble at home." Not good advertising, is it? But let's be sure we just don't put on a false smile, a false happiness. It has to come from within. It's out of the heart, you see. And it has to come from within. The other glow must be from an inner glow. Walter didn't know that his face was shining, but everybody else did. It was the real thing, wasn't it? And then, back in Leviticus, in chapter 14, verse 7, you don't have to turn to it, I'm just referring to it. It says there, oil on the ear. Oil on the ear. And I believe that speaks of obedience. Remember Samuel in the temple? Before he knew the Lord, he didn't know the Lord speaking to him. After the third time, I think it was the fourth time, the old Levi said, "You go down and you lay down, and then you say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant here.'" He recognized it as the voice of God. And it's so important that we are an obedient people. Oil. The blood was first on the ear, and then the oil. Oil on the ear. The word of God revealed by the Spirit of God. Exodus 15, verse 26 says this. It says that if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and wilt do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his law. This is important. The ear, remember it speaks about the Lord Jesus, how his ear was open. Early in the morning the Lord opened his ear. Great while before day he was up to hear what the Lord had to say to him. And you know, brothers and sisters, the great thing, we can get up in the morning, get into the book, and pray before we get into the book, open down mine ears and my eyes that I may behold wonder thing out of thy law. Get into the word, the book, the word of the Lord. Remember, there's something that the Lord was very displeased with, was disobedience. Saul started out so well as a king, didn't he? And Samuel said later to him, "When you're little in your own eyes, then God could really use him." But then he became self-important. He had lifted up with pride. And the Lord had to replace him. "I've chosen David, a man after my own heart. I can't use Saul." "Well, I'll obey the Lord." At least partially. But that was right disobedience. To obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of lambs. God wasn't pleased with Saul and he replaced him. And what a poor, miserable wretch he was for many years afterward. Disobedience is the most costly thing in the Christian life. To obey is better than sacrifice. To have that anointed ear. That ear that's open to hear what the Lord our God shall say unto us. There's not a lovely picture of an obedient and a willing ear in Exodus 21. You know about the master and his servant. He could have gone out free. In Exodus chapter 21, but he wouldn't go out free, and he said he would love his master and his wife and so on. Verse 7. Verse 2. "And if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and on the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he was married, he and his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master," now here it is, "shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear true with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." speaking that he was his servant forever. Our Lord Jesus could have gone out free, but he said, no, I'll bear the marks of Calvary forever. And he did. Another devotion to and love to him now, as we're boiling the ear, it should also mark us as those that are bound, have that willing ear to be obedient to him or serve him forever. What a privilege to be the Lord and to serve him forever. The ear born out of obedience to the Lord Jesus. There's many different things about the ear. Psalm 45 verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, incline thine ear, and forget not thine own people and thine house. An ear that's open to hear. In Isaiah 50 verse 4, referring to the Lord Jesus, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season. And when that we, he wakened, morning by morning, he wakened mine ear to hear as to learn. He wakened my ear to hear, that open, attentive ear, that ear that also hear the shepherd's voice. My sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me. The ear that's anointed is marked by following the Lord Jesus. How do we know they belong to the shepherd and know his voice? The ear can know the sheep and know the shepherd's voice. There'll be all kinds of flocks that gather, and the shepherd come along, and he'll call his sheep, and they'll follow. We know the shepherd's voice, too. Remember Mary at the morning of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene, whenever the Lord Jesus said, Mary, said, Rabboni, Master, my sheep, the anointed ear, hear his voice. And a little bit about the hand, there was oil on the hand as well. They put oil, put blood on the hand, and then they put the oil in our hand as a symbol of action. Whatever thou do, do with all your might. Whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. The hand speaks of might and activity. And isn't it great to be a wholehearted Christian? All out for the Lord. Clean cut. Out to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. The hand given over to willing service. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let these hands be found busy, that symbol of activity, and that which will be glorified to him, that which will be eternally lasting. And then, the Word of God speaks about different hands, you know. Moses' hand speaks about Aaron's uplifted hands in prayer. You remember Aaron and you, they held up Moses' hands in prayer. They're speaking in the scripture too of the open hand of generosity. To open your hands to the poor. Go on. I'll tell you, dear friends, I remember the old Brother Claude Pfeiffer said that a lot of dear Christians have never learned the joy of giving. It's a great joy to give. More blessed to give than it is to receive, the Word of God said. God loveth a cheerful or hilarious giver. And there's that which scattered and yet it increases. There's that which gathered and yet it tended to poverty. Spiritual poverty. Learn to have an open hand of generosity. Give and it shall be given unto you. You know what the Lord said? Good measure pressed down for running over. You can't outdo the Lord. Like the Chinese, like some of you used to say, the Lord has the biggest shovel. You can't outdo the Lord. A lot of folks have never found that wonderful thing of really giving to the Lord. The many different hands in the scripture. You look it up sometime. David's hand, victory. The man, you remember that one of David's great men, he wanted a great victory and the sword played into his hand. It's all about sticking with something. Most of us would have run, but alone in the field, they saw those people, and they would have been victory. The sword played to his head. be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, you labor not in vain in the Lord. So we have oil in the head, heavy thoughts in the mind, blessed and helped by the blessed Spirit of God, oil in the face to make it shine, oil in the ear to hear His voice, oil in His hand, so the servants could be anointed by Him and blessed. The Lord Jesus was anointed and He went about doing good in us. And then lastly, we want to mention the oil on the feet. Oil on the feet. So that's quite a thing. Deuteronomy 33, verse 24. And Asher, he says, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be accepted to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Let him dip his foot in oil. Now what does the feet speak about? It speaks about our walk. The Christian's walk. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 25. For this is the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Have any of you ever heard about Billy Bray? Heard about Billy Bray?
Yes.
Yeah. You have. Now that's a thrilling life to read. So the man that had to joy the Lord all those years that he was saved, he never changed. He enjoyed the full joy of the Lord. He'd go along, he could hear him from miles singing and praising the Lord. Got the Presbyterian preacher one time and swung him around and praised the Lord. He just was so full of it, it wasn't artificial, but it was real. And friend, it's possible for us to have that blessed joy of the Lord, the oil that speaks, that makes the faith to shine. The oil that gives me glad the heart of men, you know. It's great to have that. And it's from the foot, or from the head, to the feet, to the walk. That we might walk in the Spirit and give blessing to God. Now I mentioned just briefly there the oil in the Old Testament with the prophet and the cruse of oil. And there's one other thing I just mentioned in closing, and that was the oil or the connection with Elisha. Remember the woman that owed money. And he said, bring all the pots you can bring. Fill them. She poured in. You remember the oil kept on. And then she paid what she owed. We owe something to her. And apart from the Spirit of God, we can't pay our debt. We can't pay it. We owe that our lives to the Lord. We're bought with a price. We're here. We owe other Christians our love and our help and our affection and our, you know, really fellowship. And we owe the world the gospel. Paul said, I'm in debt. And he said, I'm ready. To preach the gospel. We owe the gospel to the world. For the Spirit of God in and through us. He can make the increase so we can pay our debt in the power of the Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the great anointing is ours. Anointed with oil. May the Lord bless these scattered thoughts to our mind, but I hope it'll be a little help to you too. See how wonderful God's provision is, and how that now that you saved us, our head, our faces, our ears, our hands, our feet, our bodies, we're all anointed to glorify Him. May that be our great purpose in life. Father, we thank Thee for this time to gather. We thank Thee for these dear Christian friends that have gathered here. We pray Thou bless each one. Let us know everyone's heart and everyone's need. And we thank that there's enough oil in the pot to supply for all on thee and the needs of others. We thank that thou art a God of unlimited supply. We shall commend ourselves to thee and thou make our faces truly shine because we've been in thy presence. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.